So I was trying to think of the question. Then I finally came up with an actual question that I don't know the answer to. So we're gonna have to work through it together. And this will be at least the first question that I have in mind. It brings together a lot, but I think it's a good question that highlights the issues. Something I asked a friend of mine who works at Machon Somet, so like works in Shabbat and Yom Tov and electricity, and he didn't know the answer or of sources that had discussed it directly. But I think it's a good question. So here's the question. If you realize on Yom Tov that your refrigerator light is on, right, on Yom Tov, right, you realize that the light is on in your refrigerator, are you allowed to open it to get your food? Right? Now, right, I like the question, and I like I said, I'm not sure the answer yet, but I like the question because, A, it forces us to ask about electricity. It's directly an Ochel Nefesh thing, though it has a few extra complicating layers here, so we should just, acknowledge them as we think about how we would write it, okay? But, right, obviously, it's... Right, what's nice about it is it's very much an Ochel Nefesh electricity question, right? Because at first, the person I was talking to said, well, what are you going to do, right, about the light if it's molid? Well, I said, well, let's see. If it's not molid, let's say it was mavir, right? Which it's probably not, because it's unlikely to be an incandescent light bulb, but let's say it was, right? So mavir is mutter on Yom Tov for Ochel Nefesh. And if it's molid, you're right that molid is not permitted even for Ochel Nefesh on Yom Tov. Except, I said, but let's be careful here, right? Because some of the poskim, as we saw a few weeks ago, allowed turning on incandescent light bulbs on Yom Tov, because even they say that molid is usher. They said maybe turning on lights is not actually molid, because maybe molid is only actual fire, right? So I said maybe that's not widely accepted, but it's not totally rejected either. Rav Avadia says that you shouldn't be mochen people who think you can turn on electric lights. It's not like it's totally out of bounds, right? And this is not even that. And there were, as we saw, like Ratzi Pesach Frank, who said, well, maybe turning on a light is grama, maybe it's considered indirect, right? And that's really just turning on a light, right? Actually turning on a light, maybe it's grama, right? Maybe, now we may not accept that in general, right? But then I said there's a lot of other things, because remember, I was like, why is it? So let's talk about it. Why is it that we assume that if you have a refrigerator on Shabbat and the light's left on, why is it we assume that you can't open it? Never thought about it, right? Why can't you open a refrigerator that has the electric light on? On Shabbos. Why do we assume that you can't on Shabbat? Right, on Shabbat, we all like try to make sure that we turn off the light. Either you unscrew the light bulb, or if you have a fancy schmancy Shabbos one, so you press the Shabbos button, or the really, really fancy ones, which I don't have. I barely wanted the Shabbos one because it drives me crazy. But the really fancy ones have a timer, right, built in for the next 30 years for every Shabbat and Yom Tov, so that the light goes... You haven't seen these? I don't know how much they sell in America, but in Israel, for like an extra 2,000 shekel, when you go into the store, they're like, we have the one with the timer that has Shabbos and Yom Tov times programmed in for the next 30 years, so you never have to be worried that you're... What? I don't know what to tell you. But that's what they do. But on Shabbos, why do we assume, right? What's the principle on Shabbos that tells you you can't open the fridge when there's a light on in the fridge? What's the principle? What? I just didn't hear you. They're like doing things in the background here. There's like gardening. Yeah. Right, okay, so whatever it is you think electricity is, right? But there's a problem. Because are you opening the fridge in order to turn on the light? No, so what's the category under which we prohibit it? It's a category called psikresha. Right? Psikresha. What's psikresha? What? Right, meaning it's inevitable, right? It's inevitable, but not your intention, right? On Shabbat, we have a lot of different levels of things that you do that you don't really intend to do. So, Malacha Shein Tzvi Chalagufa, and Mitasek, and... but Psikresha is the most stringent of all of them. Right? Psikresha is the most stringent of all of them, because what Psikresha is when I do an action and the malacha that results from it is inevitable. Right? In the language of Mark, Psikresha velo yamut. Right? Now, what exactly the example is it... The benefit of at least being double vaccinated is if I have to, I can, you know, be behind these things inside while they are gardening behind. Even if it's more comfortable to be outside, in general. Rashi and Tosfot say psikresha is, right, if you want to use the head of a chicken as a plaything for a kid. So, even though your intention is not to kill the animal, right, you cut off the head of the chicken... to use it as a toy. That's not your intention that it should die, but that's going to happen inevitably. So the Gemara said, "Psikresha velo yamut." I mean, what did you think would happen? You'd cut off the head and it wouldn't die. Of course it would die, and therefore, since it's inevitable, halachically we treat it as. What is going on? I'm slow. They're like climbing up on the wall over here to like cut the tree. Anyways, so even though it's inevitable. Since it's inevitable, we consider it's ulcer, right? Because we say you're going to cut off the head of the chicken, you didn't think it was going to die? Right, again, lumdishly, the Achronim ask, why is that true? Rav Chanan has a well-known piece in Ketubot, where he says that either it's because, since it's one action, even though you didn't intend for the second action, it's all one big action, or it's as if you had Kavana, right? Because since you knew it would happen, and it was inevitable, it's as if you had Kavana. Either way, it's forbidden. Yeah.
So, if that's the case, when I open the door to my fridge, the light does not turn on immediately. It only turns on once I've gotten past a certain point in the opening of the door.
Well, if you could manage, if you could try to do it without, and then it wouldn't be inevitable, that might be different.
I can open my fridge slightly enough so that it doesn't turn the light on.
And you can still get food out?
No.
Oh, well then, if you're opening it to get food, then it doesn't help, because you can't get it that far. Right, you can't do that, right? Meaning, if you could, if it was in theory possible, you could get out your food without doing that, it would be a different story, right? But in general, we say psikresha is forbidden, but there are different types of psikresha. There's psikresha de nichale, which is the most stringent, meaning I didn't intend on the ancillary consequence, but I'm okay with it, or I want it, right? It wasn't my primary intent, but I wanted it. Then there's psikresha de lo nichale, where I actively don't want it. Right, where it's that's almost definitely not biblical, and then there's the middle category psikresha d'lo ichbut lei, right? Where the consequence I don't care about, right? I don't care one way or the other, and then it's a machlokas whether we consider that psikresha or not. So what I said to my friend was, you know, this is a really interesting case because it's God's sake. Because, right, it's an interesting case, because in the end of the day, I'm not opening the fridge to turn on the light. Right? The only reason we forbid it to begin with is psikresha. Right? So let me get this straight. It's obvious to you that opening a fridge on Yom Tov, the light is going to go on, is usur. Even though, even on Shabbat, it's only usur because of psikresha, which is important, but we recognize it's not your original intention, right? So you're telling me that because the light's going to go on, and despite the fact that many Achronim felt that even turning on an incandescent light bulb directly on Yom Tov is mutter, because it's considered grama, right? Because it's not molid, etc., right? And you're going to add ochel nefesh to the equation, where even if it were mavir, and even if it were, right, many of the malachot that you're talking about would be mutter because of ochel nefesh, because of a sick ratio, because of an unintended consequence which you don't really want, when it's hindering your ability to get food on Yom Tov, you're sure that it's usur, right? To which point he said, well, I don't know of any sources, but why don't you write an article on it? I said, well, that's the intention, right? So that's the question I have right now. I had looked up a few different shailas that were interesting. Like, I wanted to find ones that people had actually asked. So I found one shaila where someone had asked about a grill with, which had an electric, well, I don't know, like a starter, but it wasn't even just a starter, like it kept it going or something, which was interesting, and maybe we can look at it. But I thought this shaila was, right, brought together a lot of them, and because I don't have any answer, because I couldn't find anyone who dealt with it directly, it was good, because now we can throw out a shaila that, as far as I'm concerned, is an actual shaila that comes up on Yom Tov, and I don't know the answer to, right? Meaning, I have ideas, right? But I haven't yet worked it out, on Hasof, so it's a good place to go, because I think it really does bring together the shailas, and it's very practical, right? This is not, like, theoretical. This happens all the time. And, okay, just to help you a little bit with some of the issues that might come up, so I printed out for you just a few English articles on... Here, it's two pages. Two pages of refrigerators in general. Right, just to sort of get some of the issues out there. The truth is that it's not a given that you're allowed to use refrigerators on Shabbat in general. Right, this was quite the machloket, so I did want to at least acknowledge this. So that's why I gave it to you. I won't read it all inside. I gave you literally everything I gave you is English. I just printed it out so you'd have it. But just to go through a little bit of it, so there were poskim who thought that in general opening a refrigerator door is prohibited. The reason is because I'll go through some of the issues that people brought up just so you have an idea of what's going on. So there were poskim who felt that since when I open a refrigerator door, I let hot air in, which now either directly turns on the motor or hastens the turning on of the motor again because of the temperature, right? Meaning we know refrigerators work, right? They have a thermostat, so if it reaches a certain temperature, obviously the motor goes on to cool it down. So if I open the door and hot air goes in, so I speed it up. So there were poskim who felt that this was problematic. What I'm going to do afterwards, I also printed out just write Simon's packet from YU Torah on some of the issues, the original sources on a lot of these questions, which will probably be helpful. This is much longer. It's 22 pages. I just printed it out in case you want a copy to sort of, if there's like a source that you see that you want to look up the original, I just printed it out so you can have it. So there were poskim who believed that you weren't allowed to do this at all. Rishon Zalman Orbach has a very long tshuva where he argued, for example, Rav Aaron Cutler felt that this was a problem. This is one of the things, by the way, that the Shabbat mode is going to solve. And this is why I tend to hold, personally, Rav Shmuel Zalman Orbach, meaning when the light's off in the refrigerator, I don't have a problem opening the door. I don't worry about the motor, meaning, right, the motor's going to go on eventually anyways. Maybe I'm hastening it, maybe I'm not. Right, and even if I am, it's mild, right, and it's indirect, and a whole bunch of reasons that we'll see in a minute. So I tend to think it's mutter. So I really don't like my Shabbos mode fridge because it messes with the motor, because it messes with the thermometer, right? It basically sets the motor to go on at set intervals, not based on temperature. So on Shabbat, it like messes up how frozen things get, right? Like freezes things in your fridge, and it's really a pain in the neck. I really don't like it. But what can I do? Like when I bought it, the store, I bought it in like Mei Sharim. And Mei Sharim, like, that was what they had. And, like, he was trying to pressure me for the really Mahadran one with 30, I'm like, I really don't think you need this. But he's like, oh, how could you not get a Shabbos mode one? You know. I always love this. It's like, oh, you clearly don't know. You clearly don't care about halacha. You know, you don't know the, you know. Yeah. It was like when I was in a plane once, and they gave me a snack with a hechsher I didn't recognize. So I just asked the woman who was sitting behind me, it was like a Chabad woman, what if she recognized the hechsher? And she said, I don't, but it doesn't matter because it's not kosher. And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, well, it's dairy. I'm like, and? She's like, it's not Chal of Yisrael, right? I'm like, and? So then she starts telling me, wait a second, I have something for you. So I thought she was going to pull out, like, you know, one of those cards with all the different hechsherim. But no, she pulled out the thing that they use to be Makari people to teach them about kashrus. She's like, I have something for you. Let me tell you about this thing we have called kashrus. And I'm like, okay, listen, I'm like an ordained Orthodox rabbi. I'm actually aware of this category. I actually have a principal position here. I was like, listen, I understand that the Rebbe felt you have to have Chal of Yisrael, as you understand it, but I actually paskin like Moshe Feinstein, and not just because he was Moshe Feinstein, but I actually learned the sugya, like, you don't have to tell me what kosher is, right? So that's sort of how I felt when I was in Mea Shearim, and he's trying to convince me that obviously I need the Shabbos mode fridge, because otherwise I'm violating Yisurim. But I'm like, I can't just say, no, Rosh Zalman Orbach thought it was fine. Whatever. But there were people like Ryan Cutler who thought it wasn't fine. Because you're causing the thermostat to register the increase in heat, which turns on the motor. So, Rosh Zalman, again, I gave you a jacked or summary here. Rosh Zalman felt it was fine for many reasons. First of all, he said that only, even according to Chazon Ish, who thinks that making turning on an electric circuit is bone, he thinks that's only actually turning it on from nothing. But here, it's set in motion. It's going to go on. Right? It's going to go on at some point. Right? Like, the thermostat is constantly going. The motor is going to go on. All you're doing is possibly, maybe, making it go on earlier because you indirectly allowed heat in. So he assumes that when you're just possibly speeding something up, that's going to happen anyways, that can't be considered bonus, right? Because, like, you're not starting something new. Like, this is what was going to happen. Anyways, second of all, remember, the Chazon Ish thought that turning on an appliance is bringing it from death to life. He's like, this is not doing that, right? It's like the refrigerator is operating one way or the other. That's a bit extreme. For even, you know, even if you think that turning on something electric is bonic, it brings it back to life. Like, that's a bit of an extreme way of articulating this particular formulation, right? That's a bit much. So what about Molid? And this is going to be important, right? So what about Molid? So he says, even if you hold that electricity in general is Molid, he thinks that opening a refrigerator, again, not the light, he thinks the light is usher, but what he says about refrigerators in general may help us with the light. He says the isser of molid may not apply because it's not direct. It's not direct. Because you're just letting hot air in, which then might trigger the thermostat, which then might turn on the motor. So maybe molid is only direct. And he says, even though normally we don't allow grumma lichatchila on Shabbos, he said, this is grumma and eino mechaven. Right? You don't even intend to do it. So since it's indirect and you don't have intention, so it's fine. Furthermore, Rosh Shlomo Zalman just takes it to reductio ad absurdum. He says, look, if you're going to tell me the indirect causing of the refrigerator to heat up and the motor go on is usur, so then you shouldn't be allowed to open your window on Shabbos, because it's going to heat up your house, right? And therefore it's going to turn on your, you know, air conditioning, or it's going to heat up the air and might heat up the refrigerator, right? Indirect. I mean, you can't do anything. So most poskim are makil on refrigerators in general. Um, There were poskim though who really were machmir about this. So I don't know if you've ever seen people like this. There are people who will only open their refrigerator when they hear the motors on. Right, they're following the machmir position. You probably don't know anyone who does this, but there are people who are machmir like this. Another reason Rosh Hashanah is makil is because the opening the door just preserves the status quo. Right? Like, you're not actually creating something different. Like, it's not going to happen immediately, so it's just, you know.
People say that, like, if you are Friday night, you leave your oven on or something, and you leave your food in the oven, that you have to wait until the oven turns off.
You definitely can't close it again. That's for sure true, right? Because then that's chazara l'makom amos of hevel, right? Into an oven, right? That's usur, right? Nothing, right? That's for sure true, right? Once it goes off, you take things out, and that does partially depend on the light thing, also. Yeah, meaning I'll often put things in the oven, turn it off before. Well, you can't leave it there because you can't leave it in while it's on, right? Like when the oven's on, right? You need like a blech. Remember, you always need to separate from the fire, right? Leaving something in an on oven, right, would be like putting it on the stove with a fire on. You can't do that on Shabbos. You have to put it on, right? You can't even leave it there, right? That's Shehiya, right? Right, on Shabbos, you can't leave things on an open flame, right? That hence the blech or hot plate, yeah. It wouldn't help you. Same reason, you couldn't do that with a flame, right? Think about it. If you were leaving a flame on all of Shabbos, you still can't leave your food on it. Even if you're not going to put it back on, you can't do that. You need a blech, right? Or whatever, because it has to be gar fakatum. It has to be covered. So putting it in an oven is the same problem. I mean, it's worse, because it's inside. What? You can't leave anything in an open flame. Okay, now there were poskim who were machmir on opening a fridge when the motor is not running, or at least thought you should be machmir if possible, so be like the Har Tzvi, Chalkat Yaakov, Rav Henkin, Rav Yosef, Eliyahu Henkin, Rav Vadya, were machmir lechatchila. So again, there were these issues that were raised. So the first thing is just to know that exists, but some of the kulot from Rosh Hashanah might be helpful in terms of the light case. Also, even though normally poskim assume that the light is, you can't. So what about the light? So I gave you just, I printed off something from, what is it, from dailyhalacha.com, right? Just, I think this is pretty standard. They accept it, but just, it's a good summary. So he says, right, if a person forgot to deactivate the light in the refrigerator before Shabbat, under what circumstances, if any, may he open the refrigerator during Shabbat? So although halacha forbids opening the refrigerator door on Shabbat in such a case, it is permissible to ask a Gentile to open the door, right? So the first thing to note is that most poskim assume that if you did forget to turn off the light, you can ask a guy, can ask a non-Jew to open it. Why? So opening the refrigerator door will turn on, falls under the halacha category of psik resha, an inherently permissible action which is forbidden because it will inevitably result in a Shabbat violation. In this case, opening the refrigerator door is inherently permissible, but because it will inevitably cause the light to turn on, it's forbidden due to the halacha of psikresha. The concept of psikresha does not apply to Gentiles. And therefore, a Jew may ask a Gentile to open the refrigerator during Shabbat, even though the light will then be activated. So that's the position of the Yalkut Yosef. Right, so again, I brought this just to highlight the fact that, yes, it's usur, right, but it's not usur because it's considered turning on the light directly. It's psikresha. And psikresha has certain leniencies built in. So therefore, to figure out whether on Yom Tov it'll be permitted, it's not just enough to ask if you're allowed to turn on a light at Yom Tov, which as we know, certain poskim can, but it's whether psik resha might be different, because psik resha, while usher on Shabbat, is still a lesser category. Then he says, what if the refrigerator was opened on Shabbat and one realized the light had not been deactivated? Under what circumstances may he then close the door? So as regard to opening the door, halacha would permit asking a Gentile to close the refrigerator door in such case. Furthermore, Chacham Avad Yosef, in the 10th volume of Via Omer, rules that one may close the door with a shinui, in an unusual manner such as one's foot or body. He explains that turning off the light in Shabbat is forbidden only by force of rabbinic enactment, as the Torah prohibition of extinguishing applies only when one extinguishes the flame in order to retrieve the coal. Performing a forbidden activity with a shinui also constitutes a rabbinic rather than a biblical prohibition, such that closing the refrigerator door with a shinui involves two rabbinic prohibitions. Given that, as mentioned earlier, we deal here with a situation of segresha, rather than direct violation, we may allow closing the door in an unusual fashion. Right, so closing the door, Ravadia says, well, it's derabanan. If you do it with a shinui, it's a double derabanan. Double derabanan, segresha, he's going to let you do it. He also allows you to ask a kid or a non-Jew to open the door. So again, you see that there are actual consequences to the fact that while we do think, in general, that it's prohibited to open the refrigerator door when the light is on, you see that because it belongs to this more makel category of psikresha, there are certain leniences in terms of a mir lenachrei, maybe asking a kid, maybe closing it with a shinui. So with all of that in the background, right? So again, let's think about the shaila, okay? And again, I purposely picked, well, you know, once I came up to this question, I was like, okay, it's a good question because, again, I'm not sure what I think the answer is. I have certain intuitions, right? But I don't know, so it's a good one for us to work through for however many weeks it'll take us to do it. Right, but here's the question, okay? So all of you, this is your task, is to answer this halachic shayla. And as I said, as far as I know, probably there's a tshuva on it somewhere, but I have not yet found one. So let's assume that someone's asking you, okay? I'm asking you, right? And if I'm not asking you, someone will ask you, because it's always the case that somebody leaves the light on in their fridge on Shabbat, yeah. Right? And then, you know, they panic and... You know, can I borrow? You know, if people realize after they've already opened the fridge door, so then you have this, you know, frantic thing where you like prop the door open to make sure it doesn't close, and you run to neighbors and move all the food there, and then you know it's a little bit of. What? Because you want to get the food out for Shabbat because you won't be able to open it again, right? This is where you only realize it after you opened it up, right? We had this one of our first weeks in Efrat, like it was a crazy Friday, and you're like, you know, you're not in your rhythm yet when you move into a new house. And like, we forgot to turn off the light, and you only realize when you open the fridge. Right? So then you open the fridge, and now you want your food for Shabbos. So you know, keep it open, take the food, and like, run and knock on neighbor's doors until you get all the food you can, and then you have to borrow it Shabbos morning. Right? It's annoying. The question is, what about Yom Tov? Right? So here's a very, right, this is not a crazy Shiloh. It's a very realistic case. Someone comes to you. I won't give you a title, because if I give you a title, then someone will be listening to it. It's like, oh, you give a halachic title to a woman, right? I don't want to ascribe anything, but posekit, okay? It's a descriptive title, okay? No title.
Person who can give me halachic.
Person who can posket, okay? Person who can give halachic ruling, okay? I don't care about title, but whatever, right? Right, in Israel, you can get away with the rabbanit, because rabbanit can either mean, right, Revitzin in the American, or like, right, or whatever, right? Rabbanit captures all of that in Hebrew, so it's, you know, and sometimes you don't know which it is, because the people being described that way are both, so, you know. But whatever it is. So someone knocks on your door, and they say, Oy vey, it's Yom Tov, it's Pesach. Right, it's first day of Pesach, Seder night, I don't know. Take your pick, doesn't really matter. I realize I didn't turn off the light in my fridge on Shabbat. So, here are the options. I could prop open the door, take out all my food for 1-2 days of Yom Tov, depending what country you're in, maybe 3 days of Yom Tov. Right, depending on what country you're in, right? I could do that, but then it's going to cause me loss of my electricity. Okay, maybe that's not such a big deal. But, you know, let's highlight what it is. It's true that I'll be able to have my food for Yom Tov meals, because I could bring it to neighbors. But...
You could also cause a situation where you...
Good, so...
Farm
and- oh, no, good, so let's... Let's highlight all the different variations on this question. Because and address as many as you want, okay? Variant 1. I live in a yeshuv where everyone around is from. Everyone's going to understand the issue, right? I could get my food to all my neighbors. I won't have any problem. I'll have food for my Seder. I'll have food for the second, well, not the second Seder because we're talking Israel, but fine. For lunch, I'll have food for all of the Yom Tov meals. It's Rosh Hashanah. You won't. Okay, whatever it is. In such a case, am I obligated to do that or not? Right? What would it change if the result is that maybe I can find place for my Yom Tov food, right, for the meals, but not necessarily for every, you know, for all my milk and things like that. So, like, breakfast is going to be thrown off from my kids, right? Or, right, we can come up with variants, right? One variant would be I can get all my food easily into my second fridge or to my neighbor's fridge and easily go in because I have a key, right? Second one would be, no, I could get all my food to my neighbor, but it's going to be annoying. Because, like, I'm not going to be able to do breakfast. Because lunch, everyone's going to be awake. But my kids wake up at 6, and next door, they only wake up at 8. So my kids are not going to have cereal with milk. So there's going to be a lack in Ochel Nefesh on Yom Tov. They could have dry cereal, right? But there's going to be a lack. Is that enough to change your mind? Okay? Or Ruthie's case. I live near nobody that I can do this for. If I don't do this, my food's going to be ruined. I'm going to have no food for Yom Tov, because I'm going to have to either leave it in the fridge with the fridge door open, or leave it outside of the fridge, right, which will ruin, right? So either I'll leave it the fridge door open, which maybe will keep it sort of okay, but it'll probably ruin it and everything else in it, right? Or I could take out that food, right? That variant, okay? Third variant. I realized that I didn't turn off the light before I've opened the door, so now I don't have any access. And I live on the from Yeshuv, right, where there are no non-Jews around. So I can't just ask a non-Jew to open the door for me, right? That's not an option. So now, if I don't open the door, my options are either not to have food or, like, pull things out of my pantry, right, and have, like, cereal for Shabbos meals, for Yom Tov meals, rather, not Shabbos. Or, I don't know. Or have to cook something from scratch with whatever I have that's not in my fridge, right? So dry things that are sitting in my storage room, or whatever the case may be. Am I allowed to open the fridge door, right? So all of those, I think, are variants, right? All of those have electricity questions involved. All of those have Ochel Nefesh questions involved. I'll throw in one more variant. Is there a difference whether it's day or night? Tell me, why is there a difference of day or night?
Because you already have light.
Very good. Because, as the poskim note, as I mentioned briefly, there's different types of psikresha. There's psikresha de lo nichalei, psikresha de nichalei, psikresha de lo echmat lei, right? If it's light in my room, so I can say, look, the light's going to go on, but the lights are on in my kitchen anyways, so I really don't even need the light. So it's a psikresha, delo nichalei, or delo echmat lei. At best, I don't care about the light, because I could have seen it in the fridge without it. Does the fact that it's a psikresha, delo nichalei, the light's going on, does that matter? Right? Or, but what if it's night, and I don't have my lights on, so I actually do want the light? Right, I do. It's not the main reason I'm doing it, but I actually appreciate the light. So it's a psikresha de nichalei. Am I allowed to open the door? So this is the shaila that I want you to tackle. Okay, and as you can see right off the bat, there are a lot of moving pieces here, right? Because it's not just the electricity question, and it's not just the ochel nefesh question, but it's the indirect question, right? It's the psikresha question. Right, the fact that the light is going on, which on Shabbos is assumed to be usur because of psikresha, but it's still a lower level than a malacha, right? Lower level of a malacha. But now, not allowing someone to open the door because of this indirect, this unintended, though direct or inevitable, opening of the door will turn on the light. You're not letting someone get food for Yom Tov. Okay? So, does that shaila sound complicated enough, but touching on all the issues we've talked about over this year. I think it nicely captures it. And like I said, I don't know the answer yet. I'll tell you now. Where do I stand? I think that the answer should be, right? I want the answer to be Mutter, right? Like, intuitively, I feel like this Shaila is a very classic Ochel Nefesh question, right? And my intuition is to believe there must be a path, right? That there is, my intuition is that there is a path, even a compelling path, to say that it's permitted. Okay, that's my intuition, right? I don't know, right? I'm not saying this like, I haven't yet worked it out in my head, right? All the paths you could take and whether it would be the case. I think there should be a path, right? There should be a path. But I also know that there are paths to forbid it. Okay, right? That's where I am, right? I think that there definitely should be a path to permit it, and if I can justify it, I would, right? If I can justify it, I would think that it could, right? We could justify it. An interesting question, whether you can close, oh, right, sorry. Part of the shaila is going to be, can you close the door? Right? Can you close the door?
Well, for the
In the case where you're not getting the... In the case where you're not clearing out the food. Meaning if you've cleared out... If you paskin, that you need to clear out the food and put it by your neighbor, so obviously you can't close the door. Right? But let's say you think there might be room to open the door to get your food. But now you have an option. Can you close it? So here's the problem. So, you might say, well, you can't close it, because once you open it, you could get food. The fact that food might get ruined is not your problem, because probably enough food will be edible by the end of Yom Tov that it's not Ochel Nefesh to close the door, even though it was to open it, in the case where you, right, it's not yet opened. But on the other hand, you might say, think about the complexity. You might say, well, it depends. Maybe on the first night of Yom Tov, you could close it. Why? Because you need the food to be good the next day. So you need to close it for Ochel Nefesh the next day. But maybe someone would say Shalosh Shudis time, even though it's Yom Tov, so you know Shalosh Shudis, but whatever. Mid-afternoon snack, right, you could open it up for a cup of milk, but if there's only an hour left till Yom Tov, at this point you don't need any of the food for Yom Tov. It's not going to go bad. You're just trying to save money so your food doesn't go bad for after Yom Tov. Maybe you couldn't close it then. Right? Because maybe you could close it when it's keeping the food fresh for Yom Tov itself. But maybe you could say you could always open it as long as you want food in Yom Tov, maybe not close it. Right? So that's what I want you to do, is I want you to try. How many weeks do you think we should take to answer it? How many weeks? I don't know. It's up to you, right? This is your task. You are post-kim now. This is your job. You can, right? As many of these variations that you want to weigh in on, go ahead. Right? I'm going to try to do it myself also. Like, I'm going to sit down and try to post-kim this. If I come up with something I like, maybe I'll publish it. I don't know. Right? If I like it enough and I'm compelled. I'm going to keep looking to find someone who explicitly addresses it, but at the moment I haven't found it, right? I have not found anyone. All the discussion, and again, to me it's shocking, because to me, you should have to answer this question about Yom Tov, because there's so many reasons to think that Yom Tov should be different than Shabbat, that I would have thought that someone would have at least had to address it, even if they want to address it to say it's still Usher, right? I would have thought that someone would have thought of the question to address it, but not that I found, right? Again, it probably exists somewhere, I didn't find it. I'll keep looking. But I couldn't find it. So that's the question, right? That's the question I came up with, that you wanted something that wasn't Corona and that was very much Ochel Nefesh. So here's your very much Ochel Nefesh question. It's a real question that I think comes up all the time that I don't know the answer to yet. So there you go. Your task is to... What?
You look very pleased.
What?
Very impressed.
Thank you. And the fun thing, it's not like a crazy thing that could never happen. This happens all the time, right? And that's what's more amazing to me, that I didn't find anyone explicitly address it.